In 2012, in Maryland and in Delaware, the issue of same-sex marriage was pushed to the forefront of each state's general assemblies. And while these are victories, progress in the eyes of some, there is still a subgroup within the LGBT community that is waiting for their turn to be granted rights, or rather protections, transgender men and women. Trans men and women are speaking out, asking for inclusion, understanding, and protection. The stories of four transgender individuals will be documented in this three-part series entitled Taking Off the Costume. I'm Jamila Krempel. What is it like for a person who feels like they were assigned the wrong body at birth? A person who, by all appearances, looks like a man, sounds like a man, walks like a man, but doesn't feel like a man. At the age of 40, Ali has asked himself this question for most of his life. Ali was born male and assumes a male gender role in his clothing and behavior, also called presenting, but his identity is far more complicated.
I present as male because I've grown up as male. I consider myself transgendered because I still feel I relate more to women than I will ever do to men. But at the same time, I got a foot in both camps.
Born into a military family who traveled frequently, he grew up under the discipline of an overbearing, strict father and a mother who was and still is a devout evangelical Christian. Those parenting styles caused Ali to suppress his gender identity, which he began to question at age 5.
I can remember going to sleep as a kid and, you know, you'd say your prayers. And one of the things I always prayed for was, God, please let me wake up in the morning and be a girl. Because it just felt wrong. I didn't feel right.
What did feel right and natural, Ali said, was playing house with his female schoolmates or automatically choosing a Halloween costume that adults did not think was suitable for a boy.
My mother had brought back this big trunk full of, from my grandparents', Halloween costumes. And there was a fireman and there was a policeman and there was a pirate complete with the hook and the eye patch and the hat. And then there was one that I immediately gravitated to, which was a ballerina.
What did your parents say to that?
My mother was the one that caught me wearing it, and she was like, you know, little boys don't wear that. And I was like, but I'm okay.
But on the other side of the gender line, what do little girls wear? Mr. Mills, as we will refer to him during this series, is a 39-year-old Baltimorean. He was born female, but now identifies himself as a trans man. Mills said he loathed wearing feminine clothing as a child and hated anything to do with femininity as an adolescent.
You know, girls start doing things like wanting to wear makeup, wanting to carry pocketbooks, and just getting into the experience of becoming a young lady. And those things pretty much repulsed me. With a bra and my breasts, I didn't want them. I didn't want my period.
Similar to Ali, Mills started to feel disconnected from his assigned gender around the age of 5.
I was in kindergarten, but I remember the dynamics. The three girls were sitting close to one another in a half-moon shape, and I was outside. Like sitting a little further off, like disconnected from the group. I remember thinking to myself often, I was meant to be a boy. I was meant to be a boy.
But Mills was not the only female kindergartner who desired to be a boy. Owen, born Heidi, identifies as transgender. Owen has short brown hair, oftentimes sports a scruffy beard, and depending on his prerogative, he says he could be wearing a shirt and tie one day, or a pink shirt and ladies' jeans the next. Even as a child, Owen said gender did not seem fixed, but that attitude led to harassment from his peers who thought otherwise.
I remember telling my teachers, saying that I wanted to have a sex change when I was in kindergarten, and I remember getting bullied a lot after I said that, so then I just didn't say it again. I got bullied pretty substantially.
Owen is 30 years old and works for Equality Maryland, one of the leading LGBT advocacy organizations in the state. Sitting in his office, he describes where his non-traditional notions of gender stem from, a toy manufactured in the 50s.
I thought that all people's gender was like Mr. Potato Head. So one day you want to wear a dress, great. And the next day you want to wear a tie, awesome. And so one day you want to play army and the next day you want to play house, whatever you want to do, like, cool. So I always kind of grew up like thinking it was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Turns out not so much.
If gender is not like that iconic toy where one can create a range of identities, what is gender then? Carrie Evans, Executive Director of Equality Maryland and a Gender and Women's Studies professor, said the distinction between sexual orientation and gender identity can be confusing to some.
You know, I think what people fail to distinguish is that every person has a sexual orientation and every person has a gender identity. You know, you're either gay, lesbian, bisexual, you know, straight, or, you know, pansexual and stuff. And then on top of that, you have your gender identity, which for most people is male or female, you know, but certainly there's transgender people who identify as transgender, not as either. And all of those people have a sexual orientation.
Ali, who earlier recounted his childhood prayers for God to make him a girl, said his sexual orientation was often the subject of ridicule.
I was never attracted to the boys. I was attracted to girls. So, you know, then I ran into situations where then you get picked on because they think you're gay. And I'm like, well, and of course, then they, you know, pick on the little faggot kind of attitude.
Ali said he understands that to people who are not transgender, they simply cannot understand what it's like. But Ali cast his experience in terms of wearing a costume.
But it's literally like wearing a costume that is completely opposite to what you are. For somebody who is transgendered, it's like being on that stage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and never being allowed to get off that stage.
And for those who are trapped on that stage, the fear of disclosing one's true identity and being ridiculed or disowned for it leads to something that statistics say affects 41% of transgender individuals, depression, and in some cases, suicide. This was the case for Mr. Mills, who was eventually hospitalized after he suffered what he calls a meltdown.
It wasn't until I graduated college and I began coming in from work every day, sitting on the edge of my sofa, feeling like, okay, today's the day. I'm going to go get a gun, and I'm just going to blow my brains out. And that thought came every day, that I knew I needed to do something.
In part two of this series, we'll analyze what happens when individuals decide they are going to do something to change the way they feel in their bodies, transform them, by undergoing hormone therapy or gender reassignment surgery. I'm Jamila Krempel for Delmarva Public Radio News.